Yes. So here we go. So as you see on the screen, we've got we've only got two more to go. And I don't know how far we'll get on the parable of talents, but it's some good stuff. Some good stuff. All right. Then we got the sheep and goats, and then the sheep and goats won't take too long. And then, you don't want to miss it, we'll start the feast study. You will hear some things that you have, well, except for Muriel. You'll hear some, God bless you. You'll hear some things that you haven't heard before. All right. God bless you. All right. And Renee in the house. There you go. All right. All right. So here we go. This is good stuff. I got to find out where the heck we are. I can't find my cursor here for some reason. Yeah, I see it now. That's good. You know, we have had an awesome time doing the parables of Matthew.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to get better. And you guys keep praying for me at Cloverdale. I'm just knowing that I got to be over there for a reason. Some stuff that I saw some things in this parable that I had never seen before. I've preached this parable back in 2010 and earlier. I felt like I know this parable like the back of my hand. And then I read it the other night for application, and I'm like, wow. I really don't understand what I'm doing. There's more meat left on the bone. Parable of the Talents, Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. This is key. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Again, we've seen this in all of these parables. If you want to understand how the kingdom of heaven operates, how God has designed the kingdom to be prosperous and to grow and to increase, it's like this. That right there you can go home with. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Watch me. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. All right. This seems like a pretty, let's just look at some quick observations here, and you'll see my notes are on the screen. God is going to, if we assume that God is in this parable, because he is, because the kingdom of heaven works like this, all right? The kingdom of heaven works like this. God gives us talents or gifts or something, all right? And everybody associated with the kingdom gets this talent. Some get more. Some get less, but everybody, even Alvin, has a talent.
Is it for your own
one? I got 5 talents.
Oh!
Who's Alvin?
That's you!
Yes, sir. So also some of that first that you're need to mention.
Is
the man is on the journey. That means he's moving.
Yeah, hold on. I got a mute. Mac. Okay, I think he's okay. Okay, good. All right. Say that again.
God is on the journey. It means he's moving.
Yeah. Let's see where he's moving to.
That's right.
All right. Okay. Let's see where he's moving. Because the kingdom moves. I like that. Roger, the kingdom is always moving. The kingdom is fluid.
It's not a short trip, it's a long trip.
Amen, Al.
Yeah.
You got 2 talents. All right. Well, I felt like you threatened me because you said you had 5 talents and it looked like you was balling your fist up. So I'm going to leave you alone for the rest of the class. All right. Let's do some quick observations that I have in my notes. One, as Roger said, the man leads to go. You know, let's shoot to the chase. We're all good believers. We know how this rolls. All right, let me just slide up just a little bit. Let's look at this, and we can make some safe assumptions here. The elements of this parable. We got a man. I think it's pretty clear that the man is God or Christ. Why do I say that? Where is Christ right now?
Right
So he's going to be there for a little while. Did he leave the disciples and us? Did he go to a faraway land?
Yes.
Are we expecting him to come back?
Yes.
Has he been gone for a while?
Yes.
I think that the man represents Christ. Amen. Al, you know, it's just amazing. You and I have been doing this for such a long time.
Yeah.
I'm still seeing things that I just never saw before.
Yeah.
And I praise God that it's coming from this class, coming from you know. Servants, now that we know who the man is, who are the servants? No brainer. We're the servants. All right? Mm. Now, this one's a little more difficult. The talents. Because in the parable, the talents at the time was money, pieces of money. What do you think the talents represent? Their gifts. And I got some scriptures there, and, you know, I think I want to go through some of those scriptures. So, if you can take Ephesians 4:8, Susan, if you can take Romans 12:6, if somebody else can take 1 Corinthians and somebody else take 1 Peter, and if you're on Zoom, you can do the same thing. I want to go over the scripture because I don't want you to take my word for it. Because the dangerous thing here is that we're making assumptions, and the assumptions need to line up with the Word of God. As I looked at this, I'm like, it's pretty clear to me what this is. And Susan, I really think that the talents are not just the money, though it could be money. But the talents are those things that God gives us or empowers us to do. And sometimes it might be that natural ability or whatever that he's anointing or whatever. And that's what he has given us. And that is very indicting because that means that he's given all of us something for a reason that's connected to the kingdom of God and its movement and its fluidity.
There is no.
If you are a servant of God, you got something. Al, thank you. It depends. Al read ahead. You got to figure out what to do with what he gave you.
Yeah.
This is key.
So we don't need to let that intimidate us this morning, because even if we hadn't figured out exactly. Or like, maybe we are in what God has given us, you know, we're in it, but we just haven't fully, we can actually now.
The application of this, I had to do an application of this. I'm going to take some time to share a testimony that happened to me on Friday. And this passage of scripture helped me tremendously. Basically has changed my life and my ministry. On how I approach it. I knew it. I understood it. But I got a greater revelation on Friday night from this passage of scripture. So I'm going to take about 5-10 minutes before we close just to kind of tell you how it blessed me, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. We got work to do. But sometimes that work can be kind of scary, and sometimes you just don't know what to do.
Amen.
All right, Ephesians 4:8. Who has that?
That is why the scripture says,
when he ascended to the heights,
he led a crowd of captives.
He led captives
and gave gifts to
men. So when he died and rose from the grave in Ephesians 4:8, Paul is saying that he led captivity captives, which means, I don't want to get into the theology of this or whatever, but the souls that were in this special compartment, all right, were set free. The enemy that was holding folk captive, he set them free. All right, we could talk about that in another slide. There's some theology behind that. And as he left, he gave gifts to men. I wonder, does that equate to talents? Because it really sounds like this parable now.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got Romans 12:6?
In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, Speak out with as much faith as God has given you. You want me to read the other gifts?
Ooh, don't read the other gifts, but will you read that last part? Because it kind of sums up what you were just talking about, Susan. Can you read just that last part again?
Speak out with as much faith as God has given you.
Speak out with as much faith as God has given you in that gift. Wow.
Susan's gift is to encourage.
Yeah, she got some prayer, too.
She encouraged us through her prayer by speaking out her faith.
And when you put your faith behind the gift, it has a power. I got a gift, but I gotta have faith behind the gift. And when I have faith behind the gift, I don't have to worry about what the gift is going to produce because he's in it. And he gave it to me. To do what with? To use it for the kingdom. Wow. I mean, that's some deep stuff. You know, and this should be an indictment to every church out there. Glad this one ain't on that list. For every church out there that just gathers together on Sunday, encourages each other, you get your Holy Ghost praise on or whatever, and then you go back home and do nothing. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, not that we need more scripture, but let me just give you, and Susan, just for the sake of time, you know what, Susan, if you want to read the rest of the gifts, go on and read the rest of the gifts, because, you know, I know we're a Baptist church, but I got a little Pentecost in me, there might be some gifts.
Not me, I don't have none. Okay, your gift is serving others. Serve them well.
Oh, right.
If you are a teacher, teach well.
Amen.
If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging.
All right.
If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly.
Amen. Somebody in there got one of those gifts that she just read off.
At least one.
And somebody's got about two. All right, 1 Corinthians 12. Oh, I need to tell you where to read.
I got it.
Oh, yeah, it's on the screen. Oh, yeah, thank
you.
It's on the screen.
Now,
oh, yeah.
Spiritual gifts, brethren. I do not want.
Oh, wait. What kind of gifts?
Spiritual gifts.
Ooh, don't get the natural gift mixed up with the spiritual gift. We got everybody's got a spiritual gift.
Because the man had to go on a trip.
He went on a trip.
He had to leave us the gift.
I'm like a spiritual Airbnb or whatever you call that thing. Airbub. What is it?
Airbnb.
Airbnb, amen. That's who we are.
Now?
Wait. So, in an Airbnb, the owner still owns it. They're just not there. They're letting you use it.
Yes, and they leave everything you need.
Whoop! Oh! That preach! That preach! That's Sunday, February!
Amen.
I got a kingdom Airbnb. It ain't mine. I just manage it for the kingdom. Amen. Woo! All right, I'm sorry. I'm not going to interrupt anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one... Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Mm. What's verse 9 say?
To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit.
Yes, and verse 28?
And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration, and varieties of tongues.
If you can be an administrator and a leader, that's a spiritual gift. Mm-hmm. Deb has a spiritual gift. She is the class administrator. And just because everybody ain't teaching, I'm sure we wish some other folk would be teaching, but just because everybody's not teaching, Anthony's going to wind up teaching one day. I'm going to get him to be teaching. We can't downplay the gift that Deb does,
yeah.
All right, because it's a spiritual gift. And it promotes the kingdom.
It operates out throughout her life.
Yeah.
It does. I testify to that.
I don't know what 1 Peter 4:10 says. I read it once upon a time. If somebody got it, you can read it. But all right, thank you.
Okay.
1 Peter 4:10. God has given each one of you the gift of this great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another.
Wow. So, is there any doubt in the assumption that I made that these talents in the parable represent the gifts that he has given all of us?
Mm-hmm.
Then we don't need to be ignorant as to what he's asking us to do.
Uh-huh.
And the faraway country, that must be heaven. Mm-hmm. Preparing a place for us.
Yes, God.
Verse 16. Oh, it ain't even got good yet. Here's where it gets even better.
More better.
Yeah. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents, thank Al for this, went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. There's something here. Let me check the chat real quick. Oh, good morning, Doug.
All right.
All right. So they traded. What's a trade?
It's a transaction.
It's the effort behind that. You've got to make a transaction with your gift.
You got to use it.
And the transaction is going to be with another entity or another person.
Entity. Interaction. That's a good word.
Interaction.
So if I take my spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit's given me,
you got to invest it.
I invest and share it with Luke, and Luke understands it.
Yeah.
And he becomes a Christ follower because I shared it with him. Then the transaction has been made.
And the kingdom of God works like that. Kingdom means dominion. Kingdom means reign. The kingdom increases, and God has domain and reign in the earth through the efforts of our gifts. As we invest in others, the kingdom starts to increase. I don't know if anybody understood it or not, but we have a significant role in the kingdom.
Amen.
This is not something, how awesome is that? That God allows us to participate in kingdom work. And, you know, we are toe up from the floor up, and he still says, I put my spirit in you, and I still know that I have equipped you to do, oh my goodness, I've equipped you to do what you never was able to do before. Moses.
David.
Joseph. Joshua.
Susan, Chuck, Jimmy.
Amen. If he did it for them, he'll do it for us.
Amen. Esther. I have to get a woman in there.
Yeah. Deborah. Mary.
Martha.
I still ain't found a dude to break the alabaster box. We'll break some tablets in our anger, but we ain't broke no alabaster boxes. All right. So as Al said, you got to trade. I got a talent. I'm not sure what it is. He'll reveal it. I got a talent. I don't know what to do with it. Where do I invest it? Verse 17. And likewise, he that had received 2... he also gained other 2. So you get double for your trouble. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, when I first saw this, I didn't see any problem with this. It ain't like he lost anything. I know it's a bad investment tool today. Yeah. You ain't earning any interest. You know, I got some money hidden, digged in the earth right now. I got a non-interest-bearing account. No interest. Just sitting there. Balance stays the same.
50.
All right. Look at the difference in the management. There really is only two differences. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I could look at somebody with five talents, like maybe the pastor, seeing how he's trading and investing every Sunday. I might look at myself and say, I only got two talents. But I'm not distracted because somebody got more than what I got. Mm-hmm. I'm going to work with what I got. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be faithful over the little bit that I got. And I still got to do the same thing the pastor does. Mm-hmm. With just the two that I have. With just the one that I have. I got to do the same thing. One, I got to be humble. Two, I can't lean on my own understanding when I do my gift. Three, I got to rely on the hope and the word of God and the Christ that lives in me. Four, I got to be led by the Spirit when I execute my gift. Even if it's just one gift. Because it's a spiritual gift. I can't operate in my own reasoning, understanding when it's a spiritual gift. Okay.
If he gives you a talent and you use it, he might give you more abilities.
What, Susan? Slow your roll there. I think we're coming up on something that I never wanted to say. I saw three things that I hadn't seen before. I did this thing back in 2010. And I saw some things, Susan. That was one of the things I saw. Wait, Susan, you don't like this. All right.
That's why it's called the living word of God. We can't ever, forever get to the bottom of it.
Hey, Susan, that's what I was talking about, running out of sermons at Cloverdale.
Yeah.
You can never get to the bottom of it.
That's right.
They're going to get the best word I can give them, whether there's 25 there or whether there's 125 there, because you can never get to the bottom of it. All right. Now, as I said in my notes, we already covered it. You can assume that they traded with others. That's the only way I know you can make any money. Mm-hmm. I'm an investor. You know, I take my little bit of money, I invest it in somebody else, I get an increase. Mm-hmm. Now, investing money can be scary.
Yeah. Investing your gift would be scary.
Same thing.
As long as you're not investing that crypto stuff.
We're gonna talk about that in another. Yeah. You're right, yeah.
You can be rejected.
Yeah.
There's the fear of rejection, there's the fear of loss.
Yeah.
And I heard a teacher say recently, thinking about Jesus. And how when they rose up against him so strong, those Pharisees and the people who didn't believe in his own hometown, and how he had to, imagine how that felt, that he had to endure that, knowing he would endure it and then going through it.
I like that old song by the Williams Brothers. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody. Who can save everybody? All right, there you go. Al ain't forgot the soul. All right, there we go. All right.
They don't know about that,
dude. No, they don't know about that. Well,
there's a new version of it.
There is a new version. Okay, there is a new version.
I don't know who sings it.
I want you to notice this.
Casting Crowns.
Ah, there you go. I think this Casting Crowns got a version of it, yeah.
I'm seeing them in concert.
Where they at?
The Impact Center.
Ooh.
March 11th. March 11th.
Okay.
At the Impact Center down the road.
We were actually
The Voice of Truth.
All right, stay on script. Here we go. Here we go. I want you to notice something here. I highlighted in my notes. The gift was on loan. It didn't belong to them, but they got to use it in exercises. That's important for me to understand. It's God's gift to me.
The thing I see with the one talent and the servant that got the one talent goes back to ye of low faith.
Yes. I like that. Yes.
Because he didn't have faith that he could do it, and he didn't have faith that the master thought he could do it.
And that's the other thing that was one of the four things, I guess, now, that was I don't want to say it's a revelation, but there was a clarity that I had missed before. Because I started asking myself questions about this that kind of relates to me. And the questions, we're going to get to it here. Just verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now, reckoneth is a accounting term meaning to credit or remove from one's account. Bottom line here is, we know what this is. This is Christ coming back, settling accounts. What's the balance on your account? There is a day of judgment coming for unbelievers and believers alike when he comes back. That sounds kind of scary.
Well, it is.
Aha. Let's go a little bit further. Look at this. Okay, that's five things that I figured out. But look at verse 20. This is deep. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, look closely. I have gained beside them five talents more. Now, let's address what Roger said, or what all of you said. Because Christ is coming back and he's going to judge. And just the mere fact that Christ is coming back as a judge has me a little weak in the knees. But then when I take this in the natural, I remember when I was a child in my father's house, if I had a good report card, I can't use that because I went to summer school every year. Use another example. Hey, wait a minute. I didn't start getting good grades until I was in junior high. Whoa, man. If I did something good, I couldn't wait to tell my dad. Before he got home, when he jumped out the car, behold, my dad came to one of my track meets. I was, I think I was a senior in college. I was running track on the AAU circuit. And so I was running in my hometown. And my dad, I invited my dad to one of my track meets because he's only able to see me run like maybe once or twice in my whole track career. And he came out and he watched me. And I was blowing folk away. And after the race, I knew he was proud. But he came up to me and he said, in his own little way, he said, boy, you a bad boy. I just felt so good about that. I was so excited about that. Let me ask you. When you do good in school, or when you do good in wrestling or whatever, and dad's coming home, do you have fear or do you have joy? Because you just can't wait to tell him.
Joy.
Yeah. Let that be a litmus test for all of us. While God is awesome and he's terrible, he's fearful, we still call him our Father. And the only time I was ever scared about my father coming home was when I knew I screwed up. But when I knew the will of my Father, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. When I knew the will of my Father, when I knew his expectations for him, because he'd always tell me what the expectations were before he left. Boy, I'm leaving now. Don't mess up. Don't burn the house down. Don't do it. I already knew the expectations of the Father before I left. When I worked on my first job on the base with my dad says, "This is your first day on the job at the base?" He gave me his expectations. He said, "I got a good name on this base. Don't mess up the name." And when I did good, behold, Dad. So I want to be in a place where my fear of God is not a fear of God, it's a reverence and respect for God. And when he comes back for Chuck Latham, I need to be able to say, "Whoo, Daddy's back. Christ is back. My King is back. Behold." This is what I did with your town. But if I screw this up, you're going to have a hard time finding me.
It's not
a one and done.
It's not a one of end. We do screw up.
Yes.
But
his mercies are new every day. But like it says, I think it's Proverbs, but a righteous man may fall seven times, but he gets back up with the right mind. I keep getting back up. I fail, but I just keep getting back up. Keep getting back up. In fact, that day when my dad saw me race, my first race, I did not win. My first race was a hurdle race, and the guy that was next to me was about equal in speed with me, a little younger, and he tipped over the first hurdle, and we were right next to each other. And in my mind, I'm like, "Oh, you're done." And instead, I did a ridiculously stupid thing. Don't slow down. No. I picked this dude up by the arm. And held him up. And I kept running my race. And the rascal beat me. But he came back and he thanked me. And my dad saw it. "Did you pick that guy up?" "Yes, sir." The second race I raced, that's the one I won. He was more proud of me from the first race than the victory that I had in the second race.
Amen.
So it is an ongoing thing. It is not a single event. Every day, his mercies are new. And every day, I'm looking to invest in something.
Amen.
Go ahead, Chuck.
I'm on it, Brad. I'm on it. Now, here's the analysis of this. And I even didn't get to the test. This might be a two. You know, we got 10 people on Zoom.
That's a blessing.
All right. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, watch this, "Well done, thou good and faithful." And I used to blow by that. Because I used to focus on the "well done." What do you want me to hear to say? I want to say "well done." So I stopped at the "well done." Just "well done." But I didn't realize, in order for him to say "well done," there was two other things that was associated with it. It had to be good and it had to be faithful. Faith is the key to "well done." And I overlook that sometimes. Because you got to have faith. And here we go. Is the word faith or faithful? There's a difference.
Faithful.
Thank you, Roger.
You can't be faithful without faith.
Yeah. But, just look at the word. Faith and full.
Full of faith.
Full of faith. Which means I don't run out. Go back to what Roger said. Roger said something profound. He said it's not a one-time event. And the problem with some Christians is they've made faith a one-time milestone.
Not some, a lot.
Because they don't know the parable.
Well, I think that's one thing I have compassion on Christians is because I have to go to God. I mean, I'm not Proverbs. I fall down 7. I gotta, thank God he lets me get back up. I fall down all the time. But I think so many Christians fall down and they never get back up.
Because it ain't a one-time event.
It's like church race, though. There's not somebody there to.
Pick them up.
And that goes on us.
Oh, wait a minute. So we need to be investing not only in the lost, but we need to be investing in those other saints who are not being faithful because they're not full of faith. They just show up with that one-time faith that then got stale and old. If his mercy is new every day, I want my faith to be fresh.
Make that commitment and
say,
okay, I'm done.
Ooh! Well, you're just getting started.
Yeah. Say, going back to what she just said, there's two things you really don't want to hear. Of course, you don't want to hear Jesus say, I know you're not.
Oh, well, yeah, I ain't trying to.
You don't want him to look at you and say, well, you made it. You want him to say,
you done it. Well, you got her done.
Well, you made it.
And it doesn't take a lot of work, just takes faith. He is not asking us to do something that is impossible.
Right.
He's asking us to do something that he's equipped us to do.
That's right.
But faith comes by hearing.
You got to hear
hearing
it.
Hearing the word of God.
Well, who's going to tell him?
Well, you got to hear yourself.
See, here's the issue. How many churches and how many people, I'm not trying to pump us up or whatever. Oh, I don't know, whatever. How many, wait a minute. We got some professional Christians in here. Has anybody ever heard this parable broken down like this?
No.
We've been in church for how many years? We got over 100 years. We got a couple hundred years of church up in this room. You mean to tell me that this is the first time we really have exegesis this thing and really broken this thing down to get an understanding? Do you know how many people are operating in ignorance? Just because they don't hear it? And I don't think we're hearing it. I don't think we're hearing it today. I don't think we're hearing it today just for us to be encouraged. I think we're hearing it today because it's encouraging us to be able to tell somebody about the truth because they need to understand this is what it means to be a Christian.
And we don't have true discipleship in churches. Not really the true discipleship.
Well, that's a problem.
Let me tell y'all how good God is. Guess what Susan and I got to teach you on tomorrow night? Gifts.
Oh, my goodness. If that ain't time.
That's mic drop right
if
there.
If that ain't got... All right, so we're running out of time. This is going to be a two-parter. All right, because we're stopping at verse 21. We got to go back and hit 21 again. Because, I'm going to give you this one for free. Because Susan said so. So, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's awesome. We're going to stop right there. I'm going to give you this quick testimony. But before we stop right there, I always thought, and this is a correct, not even an assumption, this is a truth when you believe the word of God. When he comes back, we're going to be made rulers over many things, accounting to what we have built upon this foundation of faith, 1 Corinthians 3. God is God of the universe, and the universe is a whole lot bigger than just Earth and the few planets we're aware of. The angels, I read this book, awesome book. The angels were in charge of these different planets or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And Satan was in charge of this one. And when he got kicked out and all those fallen angels got kicked out, there's job opportunities for us. So we're going to be ruling over stuff. So when we die and he comes back with his rewards, he's going to increase our responsibility, our gifts, our treasures, our talents, whatever. Question. And everybody believes that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got a revelation. I don't think I got to wait to die in order to receive the increase. And I'm looking at my ministry. I'm looking at how things have changed. I'm a pastor of a church. How'd that happen? My prison ministry consisted of supporting 12 folk. You know how many folk I support now? 3,300. I'm sitting up here scratching my head going, I don't think I got to wait to die.
It's already happening.
I think he can say, well done right now. Look what he did for Jesus when he got baptized. He wasn't in heaven yet. He was right here in the land of the living. Got baptized. This is my son and who I am. Well, please. I've got to find out who that is.
Doug, could you please mute out that phone?
Yeah, I'm trying to see where that is.
Thank you.
Might be that rascal. All right.
All right, testimony.
All right, testimony. I got to get out of here. So the prison ministry at First Baptist, where I'm the prison ministry director, I got too many jobs. Anyway, we've been locked out of Kilby Prison. They were witnessing in Kilby for years, and we just got the opportunity to get back in Kilby. There we go. We just got the opportunity to get back in Kilby. So we got a friend of mine who had been doing it a couple years ago. We haven't been in Kilby for like almost 3 years since COVID. Now we got the opportunity to get back in there. So we go back into Kilby. Friday night we're going to go. One of the guys who used to go is going to be there, and he's telling us everything. And I'm getting ready to go. I don't know what, is this supposed to be a service? I don't know what's supposed to happen with them. I've never been there before. Now, Kilby is a whole lot different than going to Maxwell. Maxwell is a federal prison. They call it the country club. Right? You know, you just kind of bounce on in, bounce back on out. Right? I don't know what level of security Kilby is, but I know it ain't, I know it ain't no country club. And I heard it's a transition center, so a lot of people who are going to be found out to other prisons are going to go there first.
Right, right.
So I'm like, man, I'm getting any kind of Tom, Dick, and Harry up in there. Do you know, for a minute, I got a little nervous. I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm getting ready to go into. Man, I can't take my car keys in there like I can take my car keys in there at Maxwell. See, if something breaks down at Maxwell, I can just run on out there and jump in my car and drive away. You ain't running away from Kilby. The doors start closing behind you. Kilby. I got a little nervous. Then I'm like, I don't know how many people are going to show up. We ain't been out there in 3 years. I don't know how many people are going to show up. I don't know if they're going to receive me. This is a different crowd. I don't know if they're going to receive me. Felt a little nervous. And for some reason, I had about 15 minutes before it was time for me to get ready and go. And I'm like, let me just look over the Sunday school lesson or whatever, because I just want to kind of go through it and get it ready. It's on my list of things to do. Let me just run through it real quick. I've already done this lesson back in 2010, so this ain't no big deal. I can just knock this off my list of things to do. And so in the 15 minutes before I took off to go to Kilby, feeling a little nervous, I read through this parable. And I'm like, oh my goodness. The very thing that I'm experiencing is the very thing that the guy with one talent had because he was scared. I'm like, man, I ain't trying to go out like that. Wait a minute. I got a gift. He gave me the gift to preach this word. To understand this word, like I never was able to understand it before. I'm like, if I know this is a spiritual gift, and he gave it to me, and he's expecting me to invest, I think going out to Kilby is my investment opportunity. It's my divine appointment. And I'm not going in my own strength. He gave me the gift, and he gave me the spirit behind it. If he gave it to me, he gave me the power, through his power, to produce a return. Fear, gone. Nervousness, gone. I put in one of my Christian rap CDs, boy, and I was bumping. I'm like, double gone now. I rolled up with some power up in there.
You got filled up.
I got filled up. Full of faith. Full of faith. Full of. Oh, I got something else I got to tell you. I saw something in Galatians 2. Before we jump on the feast, I might have to share this with you. There's a difference between having your faith and his faith. So I had my faith. Woo! Y'all got to see that one. I had my faith starting out. But our boy, I got my faith starting out. But our faith sometimes gets weak. Our faith sometimes wavers. Our faith sometimes gets scary when we see where he's asking us to go. But when you got God's faith on top of your faith, then his faith will carry you through. And I'm jumping in the parking lot. I'm like, bring it on, baby. I'm ready to go. Let's rock and roll. So we go up in there. We got to first pray that we can get in. Because, you know, they short our guards, and they may not let you in. And they said, yeah, one time we stayed out here for an hour. I was like, hey, brother got to use the bathroom after a while. I ain't going to stay out here no hour, no parking lot. Let's go.
So I walk. You tried to sell your whole ministry right there, and you didn't let him.
I didn't let him because of what I know from the Word of God. That's when the Word of God flows through, and the Spirit will let you know. He asked you, why are you scared? I'm with you. So I roll up into prison. It ain't empty. About 65 guys go up in there. The leader comes back and says, okay, you're going to play the music and you're going to do a prayer. And he looks at me and goes, you want to give the word? And I didn't prepare. I said, maybe I can do one of these parables or whatever. And I'm like, well, Lord, what are we going to do? Because I know it's going to be evangelism. And he took me, I didn't do it, Al. He took me to Luke 23, verse 38 through 43, the parable of the thief on the cross.
Oh.
I'm like, but I ain't got no notes. But I got the anointing, I got the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We're going to have to go through that. I'm going to have to go through that. In fact, next week, I'll go through that part. I saw some stuff in there. In the 5 minutes that I had to prepare, I saw stuff in there I ain't never saw before.
Holy.
I saw stuff I never saw before. I went ahead and preached this word to these guys.
Yep, that's called the Holy Spirit.
Yep, it's called Pentecost too. Pentecost rolled up in there. All right. I sat down. Another guy took over. It's like a tag team match or a relay. Boom. One guy played organ. Boom. They were impressed by who he can play. I got up there and preached. Like, boom. Tagged in another guy, the leader of this group. He gives an invitation to salvation based upon the word. Says, stand up. If you want to receive Christ and be saved tonight, come on up to the altar. It was like sticking a stick in a fire ant trap. They started coming out. Coming out. I counted about 12 folks just coming out through the car. 12 men got saved.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And then he had tracks, and he's passing out the tracks, salvation tracks. I'm like, okay. So I got my 10, 12 tracks out. So I'm like, I didn't think to do this. I figured this is all we got. 12 is good. 12 men got saved on the first night after not being there for almost 3 years. I'm like, wow. I'm trading. I'm investing. That's how the kingdom grows. And then I stopped and looked back out there at everybody else. And I'm like, anybody else want some tracks? Do you know another 12 to 20 came out of the pews? And in my mind, I'm going, y'all must need to be up here too. If y'all reaching for these tracks, unless you're gonna use the track to invest in somebody else, we ran out of tracks.
Oh my!
Witness track tells you how to get saved, and I had just got saved. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Back in the 80s.
Yeah, still works today. Amen. Here's how it ended. Here's how it ended. Service over. ran out of tracks very first night. The brother said, we had 60. Back in the heyday, we used to have 100. We've not had a harvest like this for a number this small. The guys came back to me, a bunch of them came back to me after the service, and on this little tract, all right, they had a little block where you could fill out your name, the date you got saved, and who led you to salvation, who you shared your salvation story with. These rascals, it must have been, I can't tell you how many it was, walked up to me afterwards, a line formed afterwards, and they said, Pastor, can you sign your name in the block because you the one that led us to the Lord? I'm signing the cards for them, right? I'm like, and I'm saying, Lord, this is just crazy. I feel like a rock star up in here. These guys want my autograph because they got saved.
Do not rejoice that you saw those signs of water.
But rejoice that we saved.
No, but that's
and it wouldn't have happened with that kind of effectiveness if it hadn't been for this parable.
Amen.
Because you're doing what you're supposed to do.
Because the word showed me how.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's your lesson. I got a roll. I'm missing my next. My.
I got to read all my verse from this morning.
All right.
It took me a minute, but it's exactly what you just said because the word showed me how. This is from John 5, verse 38.
Okay.
And it's Jesus speaking in red letters. He's talking to the Jewish people. But you do not have his, capital H, word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe. So, it's just, and I was like, okay, so it's exactly what you just said. Because his word was in you. These Jews didn't have his word, and they weren't abiding in it. So they were just reading scripture. They weren't really,
they were reading.
They didn't have the power because they didn't have God. They did not believe in Jesus.
We went in with power and no fear. This parable is powerful to all of us as believers because it tells us the right way to do it, and next week we'll see the wrong way to do it. But God's kingdom moves like this, and we have a role to play. Any other comments before we leave? I'm already late.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, this is where I need to be. Did anybody pick up anything they hadn't picked up before?
Yeah, this place is
moving, Mitchell. Amen, Mac. I love you, bro.
I'm serious.
I am, too. All right.